Hello, everybody. This is Father John. Hopefully back permanently for a while from our hiatus. We had the end of the semester. I've had a lot of business related to the initiative. But here we are back on Monday of the ninth week after Pentecost. Pardon me. Since we've been so far behind with our usual Bible study, I'd like to begin today's post with a little overview from 1 Corinthians, and then work up to today's readings. Now, we had started a discussion on the problem of suffering, which I'm going to be making two recordings today, so we'll resume that discussion in our second recording. Okay, let's turn to Corinthians, which we've been reading in the lectionary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Paul wrote his first epistle to the Corinthians from Ephesus around 55 AD during his third missionary journey. And if you're interested in knowing more about that, you should read chapters 19 and 20. As a pastor, and only a pastor, St. Paul seeks to address a variety of problems with which the church at Corinth, was struggling, to wit, first, factionalism; second, the problem of civil lawsuits; third, sexual immorality; fourth, meat sacrificed to idols; fifth, the Eucharist; sixth, spiritual gifts; and seventh, the resurrection. Through all this, St. Paul contrasts two ways of living: communion with God versus communion with darkness. Through this discussion, St. Paul shows us the very essence of the life in Christ, that is, the life of sanctification. We see this from the very beginning of the epistle. At chapter 1, verse 1, we read the following: Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Notice our calling. We are called to be saints. What is a saint? A saint is a person who has been sanctified in Christ Jesus. How are we to be sanctified? Quite simply, we must seek sanctification through the holy sacraments, especially baptism, chrismation, Holy Communion, marriage, or monasticism. And yet, in order to partake of the holy sacraments properly, St. Paul urges us to live a life of repentance, a life of virtue. For this very cause, we must eschew factionalism, sexual immorality, idolatry in all its forms, and seek the life of the cross. Hence he says, quote, "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." 1 Corinthians 1:18. Commenting on this verse, St. John Chrysostom says, "It is a mark of them that perish not to recognize the things which lead to salvation." This, by the way, gives us a path to self-examination. Do we love comfort more than the cross? Do we reject the suffering that God sends us by his providence? If this is the case, we have yet more work to do on ourselves. We needn't despair here. We need simply to recognize our love for the world, repent, and embrace our cross. With that in mind, let's turn to the epistle reading for today. And today's epistle reading was 1 Corinthians, or is 1 Corinthians 11:31 through 12:6. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Brethren, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Notice what he says at chapter 1, verse 1. He writes, Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. St. John Chrysostom observes here that the gifts are spiritual, quote, because they are the works of the Spirit alone, human effort contributing nothing to the working of such wonders, end quote. We are as humble beggars, who turning to God in supplication are made rich with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and yet we must not be ignorant of true spiritual gifts, for the Apostle John tells us in his first Catholic epistle, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. 1 John 4, 1 through 5. We ought not to be ashamed to beg our Savior for those things we need for our salvation. And first and foremost, we need faith. Look back at verse 3. The apostle says, Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. The confession of faith we make each time we read the creed, with attention and meaning and right belief, is indeed a miracle, is indeed a spiritual gift. Let us beg our Savior for such gifts with humility and steadfastness, with trust in Him. Let's turn now to the gospel reading for the day, which of course is from Matthew, given that we're still in the Matthew lectionary. And that reading was Matthew 18, 1 through 11. There we read, At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child, in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off, and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into eternal fire, or everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out, and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. End quote. Now, this reading begins with the question from the disciples, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And the question is indicative, as St. John Chrysostom observes, of human weakness. To answer their question and to correct them, our Lord gives them an example, a little child. And placing the child in the midst of them, he says, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Since it is easy to interpret even a seemingly simple passage wrongly, let's look at what the Blessed Theophylact says in his commentary on the Gospel of Matthew regarding this very passage. He writes as follows, quote, When the Lord sees the disciples under the sway of the passion of vainglory, he restrains them, showing them the way of humility by means of an unassuming child. For we must be as children in the humility of our mind, but not be infantile in our thoughts. And we must be as children in guilelessness, but not in foolishness. In interpreting this passage, we see how Blessed Theophylact turns not to the right hand nor to the left, but follows the straight and narrow path. On the one hand, he enjoins upon us the faith and humility of a little child. On the other hand, he impresses on us the need for manly prudence and discernment, not being infantile in our thoughts. As an aside, you ought to know that the child in this passage was St. Ignatius the Godbearer of Antioch, who was martyred during the reign of the Emperor Trajan and is celebrated on the 20th of December. Notice also in the same verse, our Savior says, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Pay attention to the word converted. In the Greek text, we read, "Keipin, amin lego imin, ean mi strafite, ke geniste osta pedia, o mi iseltite istin vasilian ton oranon." The phrase we want to focus on here is "ean mi strafite." We have "ean mi," meaning unless or except ye, and then we have the word strafite. This comes from the Greek word strephome, meaning to change one's manner of life, or more concretely, to physically turn oneself around. Hence, when in the King James we read, "except ye be converted," we have to understand how concrete, how actual, how organic, how real our repentance must be. I have some more I could say about that, but we'll stop there for now. God willing, continuing in the next recording. But I do want to say one more thing, which is to leave us with a question. How is it that we make our repentance in life as concrete and as real as the gospel gives us to do? All right. God bless you, and God willing, I'll be along later today with another recording. Amen.